This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And I'm back after a week of wonderful vacation. And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. And we're happy to be here with you again live on the interwebs on another wonderful Monday afternoon.
And we're waiting for Jan Ness to call in. Since he has not done so yet, we're going to force you to listen to some stuff about Matt's vacation.
Okay, so I was in the Upper Peninsula most of the time. I was staying in St. Ignace with my lovely bride of 31-some years now. We did the Tequamanon Falls thing. We did the Lake Superior thing. It's always a good vacation when you have your toes in three different Great Lakes, and it was a lot of fun. So I was in Lake Superior, Lake Huron, and Lake Michigan. So it was great.
All three lakes? So did you swim in all three?
I at least waded in all three. Lake Superior, I didn't go in very deep. It was a tad chilly, as it frequently is.
Mm-hmm.
But Lake Huron and Lake Michigan were both up around 70 degrees. So highly recommended. Get on up there. There's lots of great places to stay in St. Ignace and lots of neat stuff to do. The one cool thing we did this time, first time ever, we went to Drummond Island instead of Mackinac Island. And Drummond Island is 130 square miles of beautiful nothing, smack off the coast of the UP.
And we know the other island is like tourist city, do what ditty, right?
Yeah, right, right. Well, how many T-shirt shops and how many fudge shops can you see, actually?
That's it.
So we decided to do the Drummond Island thing instead. It's interesting. It's M143 that comes off of I-75 just north of the bridge, and you take that for about 40 miles. You come to the little town of Detour. I guess it's always a detour in Detour. And there is the end of M143 is actually a ferry that takes you across a several hundred yard wide open channel to Drummond Island. And that ferry operates year round. I am told the water's moving fast enough through there to where it doesn't freeze much in the wintertime. And when it does, these boats are beefy enough that they can get through the ice. So this ferry operates back and forth once an hour on the 10s and 40s. Sort of like WWJ, but not quite. But yeah, it leaves the mainland on the 40 minutes after the hour and leaves the island at 10 minutes after the hour. The crossing takes about 10 minutes. The ferry boat can hold 30 or 40 cars, probably something like that. It's, you know, good size.
So
boat.
You can drive on Drummond Island.
Yeah, you can take your car with you.
And I've never been.
Yeah, it's only $14 round trip to take your car. Yeah, so it was, you know, reasonable. You know, and the neat thing about Drummond Island is that there isn't really much there. It is very much a natural area. About half the island is state-owned, so there's a lot of nature preserved there. What it is heaven for, though, I will tell you, is four-wheel drive trucks and ATVs. We saw a lot of those folks over on the island because a lot of the roads on that island are, you know, basically two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hilly, very natural, very preserved. You know, if you like nature, that's definitely a good place to go. What's interesting about it is it's virtually, I think, I forget exactly how big the city of Detroit is. I wanted to say like 130 or 140 square miles, something like that. But Drummond Island is just about exactly that same size. So the island's about the size of the city of Detroit, and it has 1,000 year-round residents.
Really?
Yeah, not very crowded, for sure.
Does it have a grocery store? How do they?
Yes, it has one grocery store. It has one hardware store, a couple of gas stations, a couple of, you know, little gift shops, and that's about it. You know, other than that, it's just houses. And a lot of the houses are on the water, but a lot of the houses are not on the water. They're out in the woods. And, you know, it's a really interesting place to go. So highly recommended.
Who lives on Drummond Island? And then they retired or what do they do?
Drummond Islanders. But no, They actually have an elementary school on the island, and it goes from K through 6. And then, believe it or not, the 7th through 12th graders take the ferry every day and go to high school on the mainland.
Wow.
They go over to Detour. Yeah.
We have a caller now. Is that Mr. Jan is joining us?
It is Mr. Jan. I apologize for my tardiness.
Well, hey, okay. Jan. We were hearing about Matt's vacation.
Yeah, I went to Drummond Island was one of the places I went. And the Drummond Island's claim to fame, I'm just going to wrap this up here, was it's where Tom Monahan built a ginormous golf course resort that flopped.
But you have to be Catholic to play it?
But it's still there. No, I'm not sure just how Catholic you have to be, but... I think
they give mass at the instead of drinks at the 19th hole, or
holy water in the water hazards, right? Yeah, there you go. I don't know about you, but I pray a lot on the golf course, and I say a lot of things I need to be forgiven for also. But it's the golf course is still there, and the conference center is still open. It just never quite panned out the way they thought it would, which is probably fine with the locals.
You don't throw your clubs, though, right?
Oh, well, I've thrown one over all these years, and it's still in a tree somewhere. So
well, we know Jan Ness, who's calling in from Ann Arbor, from Ironline Tech. He doesn't throw his clubs, right, Jan?
No, I tried golf really hard for about 5 or 6 years, and it ended up being a good walk ruined for me. I take walks without my clubs now.
Well, you know, that's the same thing my dad did. My dad finally gave up golf. He had three brothers, and he could never beat any of them. So he took up skeet and trap shooting, and he was actually much better at that and had a lot more fun with it. So another useless hobby, but... Anyway, you're here to talk about online tech, right?
Yes. Would love to share some news.
Okay. For those who aren't familiar, give us the Cliff's Notes 30-second version of what online tech is.
Sure, Matt. So we are the cloud. When companies want to go to the cloud, but they have a special need because of security or compliance, and they can't really use sort of these big, huge, public, shared cloud environments, they come to us. So banks, hospitals, insurance companies, law offices, those are the kind of organizations that we take down to the cloud.
And you have data centers, 3 in Michigan, 1 in Indianapolis, I think, right? Is there any more than that?
We actually have 4 in Michigan and 1 in Indianapolis. And, basically what people always wonder what the cloud is. In fact, my dentist was convinced it involved satellites because it meant the computers were above the clouds. And she's a very smart lady, but she just had it confused. And so, but at the end of the day, the cloud is basically computers that are sitting inside special buildings that are designed to make sure those computers are available even when you want to shop at 2:30 in the morning.
Yes. And a lot of people do that. I mean, right? Online shopping's... Well, it's nowhere near what retail shopping is in a store, but, it's really picking up steam.
Oh, man, everything is online. I'll tell you, I call it the mass digitization of everything. Everything is done by your phone or your Nest thermostat or your refrigerator's online or your car's got Wi-Fi. It used to be maybe there was 100 million laptops or homes accessing the Internet a number of years ago, and now it's 100 million homes, but it means 5 billion devices because everybody's got 20 things in their home that are constantly hitting the Internet. It's like this massive denial of service attack. It's kind of fascinating to watch.
The old Internet of Things is really everywhere, but then as we've talked about many times, it's the Internet of Things that can be hacked, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. In fact, those have been fun stories to watch people take control of cars and other devices. I think there's going to be some fascinating stories around that kind of stuff happening, for sure.
You've got some events coming up this fall that you wanted us to talk about, so I didn't want to let you go without mentioning those. What's on the calendar for Online Tech?
So we love to do 2 types of events, events that bring CIOs and IT professionals together to sort of knowledge share and obviously make sure they understand all the capabilities we have. And we also like to do client appreciation events. We have lots of clients, hundreds and hundreds of customers, 2 men in a truck, Kelly Services, where we are an important part of their their digital infrastructure. And, you know, they're important partners of ours, so we like to get them together so they can share best practices. We have a couple events coming up. We will certainly do a Lions game. The date of that will be announced soon, one up here in Detroit. But also the Lions play the Colts. I believe it's around September 9th. Is that the date there, Chris?
I was just signaled it's September 11th.
September 11th. I'm sorry. 9/11, a famous day.
Oh, yes. And,
yeah, so the Lions will play the Colts the opening game, September 11th down in Indianapolis. And obviously we're a Southeast Michigan and an Indianapolis company. So we have a lot of rivalry within the company, and we have customers in both markets. So we'll do an event there. If you go to our website, you'll see, go to company and events, you'll see some information on it.
Now, are you going to wear a jersey that's half Lions and half Colts, or how are you going to do that?
Well, it's going to be an interesting one for me. I'm in a mixed marriage. My wife is a Sparty, and I'm a Wolverine. So
you're used to this, sort of. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how that works out. So. I know we're talking about doing some stuff with you. We're not ready to announce anything, but I've been working with Chris trying to get some events together for later in the year that we can help you with. Hopefully we'll get those together, some sessions on cybersecurity and things like that. Hopefully we'll have something to announce soon, right?
Yeah. Look, everybody's struggling with, CIOs all across the state are struggling with, you know, what do I do next? What do I need? Not do next. In fact, that's some of the harder questions to answer. And our technology team sees, you know, thousands of solutions and problems and attacks and all kinds of different things across our hundreds of customers. And so we really want to get out there and share that. And your audience, I think, would really benefit from it. So we look forward to a number of events with you guys.
Okay. So what else is going on? We've got about 2 minutes left. What else is going on with you guys? Anything coming up that we need to be aware of or that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, one of the most exciting things we're doing is, so we have 5 data centers now and have invested just tens of millions of dollars. And we now have an infrastructure that rivals a Fortune 500 company. And with these 5 data centers and multiple clouds and cybersecurity solutions and disaster recovery and backup, all the stuff you need. But what we've invested a lot in behind the scenes is our software platform that our clients have access to. So they can log into a portal and in like one pane of glass is what we call it. Sort of like you're flying an airplane, they have one pane of glass in front of them, the pilot does. And on that one pane of glass, they can see all their systems and everything that's going on. And if something doesn't work, there's just one phone number to call. So what we've done is we've knit together all of this infrastructure, and you can sort of buy it by the SIP and track it and see it in this one piece of software. So we made a lot of investment in that this past 2 years, and you're going to see a lot of announcements and conversation about that.
Sort of a heads-up display.
It's exactly right. It's kind of like a heads-up display for all your IT infrastructure.
Hmm. All right. Well, you got less than a minute left. So why don't you give folks, if they want to learn more about online tech, how all the contact information, if they, you know, website, if they want to send you an email, how do we do all that?
Sure. So website is onlinetech.com. That's onlinetech.com. There's a ton of white papers and really useful information up there on industry trends and our products and services and challenges and some solutions and so forth that are really useful. But if somebody wants to reach out to me, it's real simple. It's yness@onlinetech.com. I'd love to talk with people, so give me a call. Reach out.
All right. Thanks very much, Jan Ness, CEO of Online Tech, which happens to be Michigan's first private internet service provider and still going strong today, growing in the cloud. Once again, that's onlinetech.com. We'll be right back with more of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening. Well, I just said that, but I'll say it again. You're listening to the M Squared TechCast on PodcastDetroit.com. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with yet another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast on PodcastDetroit.com. Proudly part of that fine network of 40, 50-some podcasts now, I guess it is, broadcasting out of the beautiful Royal Oak Center that we have here.
I think this is 44.
44 now?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we have on the line with us our next guest, Rick Beckers of Cloud Tech. Rick, welcome.
Well, thanks, guys. Good to be back.
All right.
Now, you started a couple months ago, Cloud Tech One University, and why don't you tell folks a little bit about that, what's behind that, what you're hoping to accomplish, and then you got some events coming up here in the fall. We can talk about those as well.
Sure. Well, my company, Cloud Tech One, has been around for a long time as an MSP, a managed service provider, and then we evolved into a cloud service provider, and just like every other acronym in the IT industry, people got confused about what that was. And so we thought long and hard about how to get the point across as to why it's so important for people to be looking at the cloud these days, from productivity enhancements to cost reductions and all sorts of other mobility reasons, et cetera. And I thought, well, you know what, let's just put together some mechanism, some kind of educational forum, if you will, where we can teach both sides of the equation, the business decision makers and owners and those people that make the decisions for their companies, we teach them. And then we'll also teach our colleagues, the IT professionals, the sales agents, the just industry professionals, you know, what they can get out of it and what's coming down the pike, and just more or less become a repository of information for everybody. And so that led us to spin up Cloud Tech One University, and it started off in Rochester Hills at our location there, and we had it set in our mind that we were going to do this once a month, and it was going to be the third Wednesday, and, you know, our IT people are kind of free spirits, if you will, and they let it be known that that was really boring. And so, as you know, we're starting to now look at moving this thing around wherever it'll take us and whoever will have us. But the same thing will be done. You know, it'll be all about education and talking to people about the latest and greatest cloud-based technologies that are coming out and what you can do with them.
Yeah, Rick and I have been talking about bringing one to Ann Arbor and some other locations so that it can be the movable feast. So, because it's a big area, lots of people, 5 million people in Southeast Michigan, a lot of tech people, and a lot of them just can't make it up to Rochester Hills. That's a bit of a pull, particularly from a guy like me from Ann Arbor. That's about 75 miles.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, it might as well be in Grand Rapids or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of how long it takes to get there. So, yeah, a lot of the tech industry in this town, for whatever reason, has, you know, developed on the west side, and it's kind of unique that you're over there on the east side, right?
I've been out here in Macomb County. Well, now we're just on the edge of Rochester, Macomb and Oakland, but we've been out here doing our thing for 35 years.
Wow.
And, but now it's to the point where I'm actually having fun being a gypsy and going all over.
So what
every
are some,
week it seems like we got another event.
Yeah, so what are some of the topics you're discussing at these events? What are the hot technologies and the hot trends right now?
Well, IoT obviously is on everybody's mind. Business continuity and disaster recovery are always out there. Network security changes constantly. And cloud-based technology, it seems like every week somebody comes out with a new gadget, you know, that'll make sense for a business, and it's our job to kind of ferret through them and vet them and give people information about them so they can figure out whether or not they want to use them.
And to make them secure.
That's right.
I know you and I have talked about that. I interviewed for you for an article that's going to be coming out in it used to be called Xology Magazine. Now I think it's Venture Michigan or whatever they call it.
Oh, you wrote one for that too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, they got me to do one.
Yeah. So I interviewed Rick on that, and we were talking about an approach that you guys use to isolate some of these devices so that they don't get plugged into everything else so that if a bad thing happens, then you can make sure it doesn't affect the whole network, right? Why don't you explain that? I did a lousy job right there of doing that. So,
well, it's a lot more long-winded than we've got time for, but you know, you need to be able to make sure that every device is secure in itself. You need to make sure that every edge of every network that's connected to one another is secure, and you need to reduce the number of points, you know, where any kind of virus or hacker or you know any kind of bad thing is going to be able to make an introduction into that device. And so it's a long process, you know, to be able to learn it. But, you know, at the end, once you map it out for somebody, it's common sense, but you have to just pay attention, you know, and kick over all the rocks and look underneath everything and make sure you've got in place a multi-level or a layered approach to your security.
Hmm. It seems like, I don't know what it says for us, but I actually get all this stuff. I now speak engineering, you know, whereas when I first started, I didn't understand all this. It makes perfect sense, but a lot of business people, they're really good at something, but technology is not something they're really good at. So it's really important to have people that can explain to them because, boy, technology is really taking over. And the Internet of Things is just 50 billion devices by 2020 or 50 billion connections. Whether the devices, I don't know. But you're going to have everything, machine to machine going on, just all sorts of stuff. It's a brave new world.
Yeah, and everybody's, you know, attracted to the convenience, you know, and those things that it offers to you. And it's great that they head down that path toward those desirable things. But you just have to make sure that along the way you look at all the other aspects of it and make sure that it's secure, and we do that.
Okay. When are the events now? Are they like every night of the week at various locations and different times and that kind of thing? I know you've gone away sort of from the same day of the week, same time schedule.
Well, yeah, they're not all CloudTech One University events, but they're similar in that we're going from partner organization to partner organization and talking about different topics. We spent a couple of days, as Mike knows, out there at Novi for the Michigan Association of CPAs trade show event, teaching people a lot about BYOD. We talked with MTAM the other day about mobility and some of the security challenges there. Tech 248 has just recently tapped me as what they call one of their district champions, and we are attending and talking at their meetups about some of this stuff. Going to be out there talking to Yan, hopefully, at Online Tech. I'm looking to maybe do some joint venturing with him out there at CloudTech One. Online Tech in Ann Arbor. I'll be in Washington in August talking about IoT at Channel Partners. Just got back last week from one of my partners' events. Telegration took us up to Traverse City for a cloud summit and met and talked with a lot of business people up there about cloud technologies that they can utilize. So we're here, there, and everywhere. We've got one coming up, August 23rd. We're going to be at Automation Alley, and that's from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That event, we're going to be talking about the business continuity and business disaster recovery and all of the different flavors and layers of backup and disaster recovery tools that you can use. From very basic onto replicated data centers, and large amounts of data. September 21st is network security, where I was talking about the points and the edges and all those types of things, unified threat management and so on. We're going to go over all of those different things and kind of lay it out for everybody. Whatever we can get our hands into in between.
And hopefully bring you to Ann Arbor in October. I know I've been talking to Nathan about that, seeing what we can do. Bring you there, big community there of folks. Just downtown, there's almost 3,000 tech folks in Ann Arbor. So, yeah, it'd be a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about what you guys do. We talked about a little bit in the beginning. I got a few minutes left here. What's your sweet spot, would you say, of all the things that you do? Because managed service is a big, broad, encompassing kind of concept. But what do you think you do really, really well?
Well, there's two things. The MSP, the managed service provider business, is targeted at small and medium-sized businesses who want to totally outsource their IT. They want a flat budgetable rate to pay every month, and they want to stay up and running so they can grow their business and scale out. And we've been doing that as longer than anybody, and we've perfected the technologies that we use to do it. And so I think I find from our customers that we can do that for a very economical rate and serve them very quickly and proactively and all of the things that they want. And that business in itself brought us to the threshold of the next business, which is really cranking, and that's the cloud stuff. We use these cloud tools for diagnostic purposes, for rolling out applications, for better communications and collaboration, for security, for all sorts of different reasons. And the thing that excites me about cloud technology is that I've yet to run across a business project, if you will, or a business solution that when you sat down and did the actual ROI on doing it on-premise versus cloud didn't come out in favor of cloud. It has in every instance. And it not only comes out in favor from an ROI perspective, but from a productivity and mobility perspective, it's just easier to get that stuff. And as long as you know how to secure it like we do, then, you need to actually take advantage of it.
Okay. Well, we're down to a little bit under a minute left to go now in this segment. So, Rick, why don't you tell folks how they can get a hold of your company?
Sure. CloudTech One's out in Rochester Hills, but we're virtual. We're everywhere. People are buzzing all around the city. If you need service, consultation, you can call us at 855-6-CLOUD-1. You can look us up on our website at www.cloudtech1.com. You can look at all of our events on our website. Let's see. What have I left out, gentlemen?
Your direct email address.
You can get a hold of me at rb@cloudtech1.com. I answer them all personally. Not like I'm a celebrity or anything.
Well, we think you are, so get you on the show every week.
You're a star to us, Rick. That's it. That's what's important.
That's it. Yes. All right.
Okay, that's just it.
That's right. Good. All right. Well, we'll have to wrap it for this month, but we'll have more news for you in September as we move forward with some of these other events that we're working on. This is Mike Brennan.
And this is Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechCast. We'll hopefully be back with Lisa Diggs, the has problems with her car lady, but she also is having the Buy Michigan Now Festival this weekend, and that's what we'll be talking about. It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush. And you're listening, and we'll both say it at the same time, all together now.
Stereo.
You're listening to the M Squared TechCast. And we have with us now on the phone Lisa Diggs from Buy Michigan Now. Now, Lisa, last time you tried to come to the studio and you had a flat tire, which I've done a time or three. But
hard to believe here in Michigan, isn't it?
Yeah.
So like not, I think the Tire Manufacturers Association liberally sprinkles nails on the roads. I'm not sure though. So, okay, but you're calling in today, and you're going to talk to us all about the Buy Michigan Now Festival, because that's one of the many things that you do. So tell us about Buy Michigan Now, Lisa.
Yeah, well, it's Buy Michigan Week, so happy Buy Michigan Week.
Okay.
Let me go buy some founders
and celebrate.
I think the governor sent out a proclamation on that, didn't he? So
we did. We get the governor to issue a proclamation for the first week of August each year, and I'll tell you about the festival. But in addition to that, we really want people, even business owners, to look at how much of their dollars are they keeping in the state of Michigan. So who's your hosting company? Who's designing your mobile app? Who's updating your website, all those kinds of things, and see what kind of dollars we can keep inside the state from businesses, as well as once we get to the festival, it tends to be a lot more consumer-driven. And so we're in Northville August 5th through 7th, coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's about 170 vendors in the street, and then the merchants of Northville do a lot of fun things to participate as well, the permanent merchants that are there, and all kinds of Michigan-made products, live entertainment. Just a really good kid zone, really good time, and a good chance to spend some money locally.
Hmm. All right, so what kind of products are going to be there?
Oh, everything from, we've got patio furniture that's made from recycled milk jugs, plastic milk jugs, which I think is really cool. There's also some more traditional, like, wooden furniture and home furnishings, candles and aromatherapy, skincare products. All kinds of foods. The foods are unbelievable because one of my favorite things about it is you get to go around and try. It's like, people like to go to a Costco or somewhere because they give away the free samples.
Mm-hmm.
Picture a whole street filled of people doing that, and you get a chance to try these products. And what's really cool is you get to taste them, and you can talk to the people that actually make them. You know, a lot of people have concerns about what's in their food these days, and these people can tell you exactly what it is because they made it themselves. And then you can try it and buy it, and then we hope, in a lot of cases, ask your market to start carrying it if they don't already.
And part of what's going on is another one of our content partners, Motor City Connect. I think you mentioned before that you're going to help Terry celebrate his 10th anniversary.
We are indeed. This is a year of 10th anniversary for Motor City Connect, and they were one of our first supporters when we got the campaign launched. So from 5 to 7 on Friday, August 5th, we're going to gather a bunch of Motor City Connect people, and anybody who's interested in Motor City Connect can join as well, and hang out in the beer garden and toast 10 years and network and just have a great time. There'll be some live music. The beers this year are phenomenal. Founders and Bell's and Dark Horse and, a lot of the best beer companies that we have in the state will be supplying the product for that event.
We'll have to get Comcast out there, right, Michelle? She's playing with her smartphone there.
Absolutely. You can get Comcast out there.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're going to have next segment is Comcast. They're going to be talking about their coverage for the Olympics on the X1 platform. So,
oh, cool.
So how's the car doing?
That was out of nowhere.
I was waiting for somebody to bring that up.
Yeah.
You'll have to ask the new owner, who apparently, has run off with it.
So. I was going to try to find a way to ask you how you were going to get to the Buy Michigan Now Festival. It may be Uber for you. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be able to take care of that today and be driving a lovely new Ford product.
Okay.
A nice Michigan-based company. So.
Yeah, based right. Well, my mate lives in Dearborn.
Yeah, it's a city ordinance. I have to own at least one. So,
There you go.
So tell us, obviously you're having the Buy Michigan Now week in the festival, but tell us about the online Buy Michigan Now.
Yeah, so the campaign we started actually in 2007, and any Michigan-based business can come and join. There's a directory of businesses there, and The one thing you know, if you search our directory, we call it the Michigan Blue Pages, but if you're searching our directory, you know that we have already checked that the businesses listed there are, in fact, based in Michigan. And we have three criteria. They either have to operate entirely here, be headquartered here with some operations outside the state, or they can be a locally owned franchise because we didn't want to leave those business owners out. But you can see on every directory listing which of those three criteria they meet and decide if that's local enough for you. And search it by category, search it by zip code, keyword, anything you want. And then there's also a grocery guide, and we are getting ready to develop and launch a beverage guide now that there's so many great beverages being made here. And in the future, we think even a builder's guide.
Wow. Hey, and if you need a nice sticky news feed, I happen to know a publication that covers Michigan technology and entrepreneurs, and I can probably hook you up with the owner of that real easy. So
I think there's a good possibility that may have to happen.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. How long have you been around doing this now? I think we talked about it before, but I can't recall. It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, we started the actual campaign the day before Thanksgiving in 2007, just trying to get people to think about that all-important time of the year, where are their dollars going, with just a grocery guide and some gift ideas. And then, and I think I mentioned before, Matt was one of the first people that wrote about it, so thank you, Matt.
No, sure.
And then we went in 2009 and got the first gubernatorial proclamation, which 5 weeks later led to our first festival. So we're going into our eighth year of doing this festival. And we've added since then an event in Frankenmuth, and then October 22nd, 23rd will be in Jackson.
Oh, so it's a rotating around. It's not just in Northville. You're going to other locations.
Yeah, we expanded. That was the original vision, was to really try to serve as much of the state as possible, and we wanted to get it right, building a good, strong event, and then start seeing where else, what other communities could benefit from that. So now we're looking for a host in Western Michigan and a host in Northern Michigan. If anybody out there thinks their community should be the one, they can get in touch with me and let me know.
Well, I can probably hook you up with the Western. I know Matt is like Mr. UP. They love him up there. So he can help you there, right?
I don't know about UP, but I've got connections in Traverse City. Yeah, that's
Well, there you go. I just got back from Traverse City. So
yep.
I the whole time was thinking, where would we do it if we did it in Traverse City?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's plenty of choices there in terms of event venues and whatnot. And I would imagine plenty of interest. I did want to talk to you, too, about how, you know, sort of the, the non-consumer aspect of this. The consumer festivals get a lot of attention, but it really strikes me as the B2B part of this is what could be really interesting, right?
Yeah, it is. And we're always looking for bigger and better ways to explore that. We're talking about some possibilities of some conferences we might do in 2017, because the consumer side is an easy wake-up call for people, because you can open your refrigerator or your pantry and realize whether your dollars are staying local enough. But the business side of it is a lot trickier, because there's the we hear from even school boards that get in touch with us, municipalities saying, we'd like to keep it more local, but honestly, we don't even know where to start, and we have to go with the lowest bidder and all that kind of stuff. And so we're always looking at how we figure out how to connect them to that community easier.
Yeah, in terms of the public sector side, do a lot of places now have some kind of leeway or some kind of, that they're allowed to pay a little bit more than the low bid for stuff if it is local?
There are some that are doing it. There are a lot that are not. I think, and I can't be quoted on this because I'm not sure, but I think in the state of Michigan, at least it was, I remember Jennifer Granholm telling me that the leeway was only a dollar.
Really?
On a contract, no matter the size of the contract at the time.
Wow.
Which is basically things being equal, it goes to the... But when you think about $19 billion worth of contracts, you can understand why it can't, you can't lose out by $100 on every contract when you're doing that many contracts and stuff. So it kind of makes sense, even though, we all wish that they would always buy local, and then when the budget,
well,
goes out of whack, everybody says, well, it's because they're spending too much money. So it is a difficult balance for the municipalities, I think.
Yeah, you'd think 1% or 2% might be okay, because you're not only, spending money, you're also creating jobs locally, right, or sustaining jobs, supporting jobs.
Right, that's the hope. And I think, I don't know. In some cases, I think they don't have anything that necessarily allows them to favor the local bidder. But what they try to do instead, which is why we hear from a lot of them, is try to just put it out in the community to local bidders, so they're not actively seeking out of state or out of county bidders. So they don't necessarily have the legal leeway to make a change, but by just not trying to actively pursue recruiting from other places, they kind of make that happen.
Hey, getting back to your website, how many folks do you have coming in any given month on average?
I think we see about 10,000 a month about now.
Oh, that's not bad. Respectable number. And then...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, any idea how much business is generated through the site? Have you tracked that at all?
It's a really difficult thing to track. We mostly get, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but we mostly hear, people just letting us know when it has led to something or changes that they've made or those kinds of things. But it's difficult for us to, even if we track where they went from our site to another site, knowing that that actually got converted into business is a pretty monstrous thing to track when we've got 4,000 participating businesses. So.
Yeah, imagine so. So, all right, one more time. We're getting low on time in this segment. Let's talk a little bit one more time about your big event coming up this weekend. Why don't you give the details? I'll write this up as a story as well to help promote it.
Great. It's happening in downtown Northville. We close the streets of downtown Northville. It's Friday from 4 to 9 p.m., Saturday 10 to 8 p.m., and Sunday 10 to 5 p.m. Vendors in the streets, merchants, Michigan-made products, live music, great beer and wine. Come on out.
Now, if there's face painting, Matt said he'd come out.
Well, there is, and now that I know he's coming, I'm going to see if we can get something special done.
Yeah,
for him.
Like, all right, yeah, we get like an LTU put on his forehead or something.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I was thinking more Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz, maybe, but who knows? So, all right. Once again, the website is
BuyMichiganNow.com for the campaign and BuyMichiganNowFest.com to find out about the actual event.
All right. Go there, folks. Check it out and have fun in Northville this weekend. Thank you very much, Lisa Diggs from Buy Michigan Now. That's it for this segment. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. We'll be right back.
With Comcast.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening this very moment to the M Squared TechCast. And we are here with Rob Ponto and Michelle Gilbert from Comcast. Our friends at Comcast, of course, we have the Rio Olympics coming up starting Friday night.
Yes, Friday night. It's a It's amazing how quickly the summer is gone, right? Yeah. It's already August.
Yeah, I saw something on Facebook today about how they were going to give summer a speeding ticket. It's going entirely too fast.
Yeah, winter drags and summer goes, you know?
Blip. So. All right, so you're here to talk about Comcast coverage of the Rio Olympics, which is sounds like it's going to be really awesome. So tell us, I guess, whichever of you wants to field the first question, Rob or Michelle.
Sure. Well, first you have to do the presentation here. Oh, yes. The magic box, the Rio box.
I have here in my I won't say it, but I have here in my hands the fine Rio edition of the Comcast voice remote here, which sounds like it's going to be really cool to play with.
And so, take it away, Rob, and tell us how cool it's going to be.
Well, it's going to be very cool. There's so much content available this year for the Olympics. How much content do you think is available?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. Why don't you tell us?
Okay, about 6,000 hours of content is going to be available for the Rio Olympics. That's like 250 days straight, 24 hours per day.
Whoa.
So that's more content than...
So I could be watching the Olympics from now until next spring. In other
words, you could.
Really,
absolutely.
You could. That's more than, let's see, the first day of the Olympics at noon, they'll broadcast more content than they did in 1996 from the Atlanta Olympics.
Hmm. Wow.
So just tons of content. And everyone wants content, and we're getting it. But
this is live. Now, it's not a delayed feed because it's only an hour difference. Well, at Eastern time anyway, it's only an hour difference, right?
No, we have live feeds. We have on-demand. We have internet streaming
videos.
So this is all coming together into the X1 platform. And that's where you can access all this Olympic content. So we're leveraging our X1 tech to make it easier for our customers to find out what they want to watch when they want to watch it. And it's called Front Row to Rio Dashboard.
Okay. So you were telling me earlier there are 9 channels owned by NBC, as is Comcast, that are going to be broadcasting various events, right? But there's a lot more than that as well.
Correct. There's 9 stations, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, NBC Sports. And then there's Bravo, USA, Golf, Universal, and Telemundo. Those will be broadcasting live.
I didn't realize all those are NBC properties.
They are. They are.
Huh.
So they're our partners, and they'll have live content. You can search through those on the X1 guide on the Welcome to Rio, Front Row to Rio app. And then you can also search by different avenues. You can search by sport. You can search by athlete or country. It's as customizable as possible. You can make it as you want it. So you can look at it that way. Also, we have NBC Sports app. We're bringing in all 45 of their streams into the X1 platform. So you can watch any event when it's live. You know, if it's gymnastics, you can watch the NBC show, or you can watch the different streams of the different rotations and events going on through
Beach
gymnastics.
Beach volleyball, one of my favorites.
That's right. And it's also mobile. So this X1 experience that you see on your TV, you'll also have it on your tablet or your smartphone.
My wife wants to know why the men don't wear shorts like that, but that's neither here nor there. But
So we're getting in a whole bad area we're going to let go here. So
you've got 35, 40 additional online streaming channels depending on what's happening at that particular moment, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you could have your choice at various times of more than 50 channels of just of the Olympics.
Wow. It's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of sports at the Olympics. I'm not even sure how many sports there are. How many are there? Do you know?
I don't know exactly how many there are, but I know there are new ones this year, like golf.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, do they bring back women's softball? That used to be an event, and then it went away. And then men's baseball? Are those back in?
I don't think those are back.
Not back.
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Well, nobody could beat the Americans is the reason they got rid of softball.
They were pretty good.
It got boring. Yeah,
right. Anyway, now is this a prelude to a whole different direction? This will be up Michelle question because you're the vice president. So is this a prelude to going in a whole different direction for Comcast X1 in the future? Is this what you're going to be doing?
It's actually not a different direction. It's almost like a rebirth of the direction that we started when we initially launched the X1 platform a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cloud-based platform, which makes it really, really easy for us to push updates to those customers. So it allows us to integrate new features that let you really customize that experience. So what we're doing with the Olympics is we're introducing a few new features. We'll test them out, see how our customers like them. And if they do and they're sticky, then we'll keep them going for other events. So, for example, I know, Matt, you and I were talking earlier, and you said that you use our Xfinity Sports app when you're watching live sports. And the great thing is, think of it as it's your companion screen. So you don't have to go to your tablet. You don't have to switch channels to find what else is going on. You have that information right there. Well, for the first time ever, we're integrating our video on demand content into that sports app so that you can see what other kind of content you can find on your favorite athlete, for example, without having to take your eye off of the event that you're watching.
Hmm. Oh, and by the way, in answer to your previous question, there are 28 Olympic sports.
Is that all? I thought there was more than that, actually. I was thinking 50 or something.
Yeah, from archery to wrestling, so it's almost from A to Z.
Yeah, so that's good. I like that.
Yep.
And you'll be able to watch them all on X1 and in all sorts of ways. As you said, you can pick out a particular athlete or athletes that you want to watch.
Right. Everything is searchable. You can search by athlete, by country.
Medal counts.
By sport, medal counts. Yeah, you can access. Just talk in, Matt, when the Olympics are on this weekend, talk in your remote. Ask how many.
He does anyway, right? Sure. Whether it's listening or not, you know. So.
Ask how many medals the U.S. have won.
My Mike Duffy rubber brick from the old days of the Free Press, right?
Yes.
The only thing that I'm not sure your X1 remote will be able to answer is why the men are not wearing the same beach shorts as
we're
the women's volleyball team.
We're
going
to go back to that, aren't we? We just can't let that one go. Okay.
No. You brought it up.
Well. Yeah, the sports they dropped for the Olympics were baseball and softball, also in answer to your question.
Huh.
Among the possible new sports here is something that sounds like it came off the menu at my favorite sushi place. It's called Wushu. I'm going to look up what that is.
Wushu.
It is a Chinese martial art.
So, well, we can't have baseball, but we got Wushu. What's up with that? You know, so.
I don't know.
But the cool thing about it is that you're going to see on the mainstream channels, you're going to see the best of the best. You're going to see what most people want to watch. But by having all of those NBC sports streaming stations pulled into your X1 platform, you're going to be able to go and find, really peel back the onion layers and find what you want to watch and find the things that you wouldn't necessarily normally be able to see on primetime.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like something like fencing or the equestrian competition or something like that. You're not probably going to find much of that, you know, on the major networks. So,
no, yeah. Fencing was particularly, yeah. I was a fencer in college, but yeah, you can't see it anywhere unless you really look for it.
Yep.
But now, of course, you have to live in an area that does have Comcast, and most everyone does.
I know where you're going with this. It's not nice.
I'm not going to call you
Detroit
out
area.
Of this. In the Detroit area.
Yes.
But folks want to sign up for – actually, I'm not going in that direction. I'm going to go with if they want to get Comcast and they're not currently getting Comcast because they want to get it for all this Olympic coverage, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you can call 1-800-XFINITY. You can also go to Xfinity.net and type in your address, see if it's available, which it usually is, and we'll help you out from there.
Except if you're my neighbor and you live in a non-Comcast market.
I didn't bring that up, Michelle. I was going to let that one go. So
I'm getting a lot of pressure from you to move.
That's it. We'll have to have you move. Of course, it's unusual. You would think that you said you were in Farmington Hills?
Yeah. There's a few suburbs in the metropolitan Detroit area where it's not a Comcast market.
Really?
The franchise is owned by another company, but
yeah, that's like okay. Redford, Novi. Like there's this sort of weird quilt on the west side.
I think
of
Comcast as the urban areas, and then other ones as being more rural kind of stuff. You know, so
well, I'm spoiled in Dearborn because we've got three. You know, we've got Comcast, WOW, and UVerse plus satellite. So yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of choices.
Got it all going, yeah.
I was going to also say, though, that what we find is a lot of our customers get a lot of value from coming into our stores.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people will say, well, why would you need a cable store? And first of all, what I would say is, one, it's not a cable store. It's a technology store. And if you think about the technology that you're relying on every single day in your home, your TV, your internet, even your home security, it's a lot more complex and has a lot of extra features than it ever did before. So by having these Xfinity stores, we allow people to really get up close and personal and play with the technology before they're buying it so that they know what the features are and they know how to use it. Mike, you've been to our new Midtown store.
I have, yes. I was supposed to be there last week for this, but I just couldn't make it in for a variety of reasons. But no, it's a great place. I've been to a couple of different events there, and you really showcase your products quite well.
Thank you.
See, I can be nice. So, are you going to have any out? You got the one right downtown. Are you thinking of doing any other of these offices out in the burbs somewhere or anything?
So, about a month ago, we opened one in Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. In June, we opened one in Jackson. Yeah. Earlier this year in Troy. I think that was in the spring. And we have one coming up soon in the fall.
And you have one in Troy, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, actually, it's. I think they even have called it our Royal Oak because it's right on the border. So it's right on the border of Royal Oak and Troy, very close to here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So that would be convenient for like Birmingham, Bloomfield also.
Yeah, a little bit
of the east side. Yeah,
sure.
So, yep. Yeah. Okay, where is that store, by the way, in Troy, if anyone's listening and wants to know?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Now I got to grab my phone and get the address.
Okay.
Okay, well, Matt's wife's always listening.
It's Crooks and Maple. Area.
All right, yeah.
It's right by the Walmart.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha.
And do you have plans to put any more in the metro area?
We have another store opening later this year.
Secret location?
Not in the metro area. I think it's going to be a little north of here. We'll come back and tell you more when we have an opening date.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, we're finding that these stores are performing very well. They're really helping us attract new customers and keeping customers loyal by giving them a place to go for help and to talk to an expert. So we'll continue to take our existing traditional service centers and converting them, turning them into Xfinity stores that are just brighter and have a lot more space to move around, sit down on the comfy couch, take the voice remote, tell the voice remote what you want to watch.
As long as it isn't asking questions that we don't really want to know the answers to or something, right?
So, right. But okay. It does, you can ask it a lot.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
How many, I mean, is it like Siri? You can ask it almost anything?
It's actually getting almost as sophisticated. They're integrating a lot more in terms of what you can ask for.
Right. And you don't have to speak like a robot into it. You can just talk in a plain voice.
Don't have to talk like this, right?
Okay. Period.
Yeah.
Matt does sometimes anyway. But
exclamation point.
Yes.
Rob, you should tell everyone about the Gold Zone.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that.
Thought of it.
Yeah.
Very convenient for people who are not sure what they want to watch, but they want to see some memorable moments. And it's like the NFL Red Zone. So if you click on the Gold Zone on the Xfinity dashboard, it'll take you to the Gold Zone. And that shows you all the gold medal moments that are happening. So just like the Red Zone, if someone's inside the 20, they show, you know, that you get clicked to that station. But with the Gold Zone, they'll show you every gold medal moment as it happens.
Just sort of break right in and say, we got a gold medal moment going on here, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
You can also sign up for text messages. So
yeah,
if something's going to happen.
Yeah, I asked you about that, right? I forgot, yeah.
Yep, and on the screen as well.
Okay. Well, we've only got less than a minute left, so if folks want to know more about this, how do they, other than going to your various stores, how do they do it again?
Well, if you're an existing customer and you have X1, you're going to see those tiles, the front row to Rio, pop up on your TV. It should be there by now.
Yep.
If you don't have X1 but you are a Comcast customer, we can easily switch your box by calling the 800 number.
Or Xfinity.net.
Yep.
And they'll move right fast because the Olympics are only about 2 weeks or so, right? Two and a half.
They start this. Yeah, they're about 3 weeks.
Yeah, they
long.
Start
3 weeks.
Friday. They end on the 21st.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds great.
Just under 3 weeks.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave this at that. Another hour just whizzed by.
Yep. Before you know it, it's gone. I want to thank all our guests today. Michelle Gilbert and Rob Ponto of Comcast Xfinity. Lisa Diggs from MyMichigan Now. Rick Beckers of Cloud Tech and Cloud Tech One University. And, of course, our old buddy Jan Ness of Online Tech, Inc. from Ann Arbor. And so thanks to all of you. Thanks for listening. And we'll be here again live next Monday at 3 p.m. I will not be here because it's the golf outing, the annual golf outing, the LTU Invitational. So there.
Yeah, yeah, get the dang bell. I ain't working here.
All right. I just plugged my employer. But, yeah, it's our annual golf outing next Monday, so I'm working.
Okay. So. Well, I'll be here. I can guarantee it. Jessica will be here because without Jessica, we wouldn't be able to pull this off. So
absolutely not.
And this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast, whether you like it or not.
On the PodcastDetroit.com network. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.